Live and local, this is Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game. With over 200 combined years of sports coverage in Acadiana, this is a gathering unlike any other.
Well, every week this show looks better to me.
Every week your eyesight gets worse.
This is Five Guys Stories and Lies. Here's your host, Don Allen.
Hello, everybody, and welcome into the program. Don Allen, Tom Brown, Glenn Quibido, Turn Me Up, Bobby Hardwin, and Bruce Brown. Thank you. We've got 2 hours for you tonight. And approximately, I don't know, we talked about it earlier, maybe 14 minutes will be informative. Other than that, we're just going to do, we'll do what we do best, and that's get Glenn's equipment working again.
Go ahead. Y'all have to wait on me.
Well, we don't read the headlines or dish on the stats.
Oh, wait.
Or shuffle.
He's using the old-time solution at it. He hits it.
That's the Russian solution.
I'm sorry, Tom, did you say something?
No, that's okay. I'm used to being cut off.
Okay, just cut me off, and now I'm back. Now I'm off and back. This is fun. We are prepared. How about you guys listening?
This is kind of like checking the scoreboards and stuff before a ball game. We don't do it before the game. We do it after the game starts.
No, I remember when Nelson Schechtsnyder was with us and talking about when the scoreboard went out. Yeah, it happens during the game.
Yep.
And then we try to fix it at that point.
But Glenn can't hear himself, but that's okay. Everybody else can.
Unfortunately, the rest of us can. Yeah, I know. Let's start this over.
I'm back. That's your worst nightmare, boy.
Play the intro again. Start it over. No.
No, just kidding. Hold on.
Live and local.
Here we go.
What's your problem, Glenn?
Everybody good?
You can hear it good. Now.
What? I can't hear.
What?
What was that?
Shattered my ear.
Well, if you weren't here at six straight up, you didn't miss anything.
No, absolutely not.
Still time to get caught up with us.
And as I understand it, if you're looking for the show of last week at 7 o'clock, you're not going to
hear that either.
Yeah. You're not going to hear that either.
Unless you're through Audio Mac, yes, but if you...
Wait. Let's not confuse people.
Tell us
just what's going on.
All right, so basically, you can actually check it out right now if you go on the mobile app. Obviously, after you listen to this show, you can go back and listen on demand through our free mobile app, which is presented by Visit Avery Island. And also, I'd recommend you also subscribe to us on iTunes or whatever podcasting service that you wind up using. You can listen to us through there as well. And the entire show, it's not chopped up into 2 hours. It's just the entire
podcast.
You're
really simplifying it. Thanks a lot, Clint.
What did he,
there's
I
multiple
lost
ways
him,
to...
I don't the, know.
I lost him after if you're watching.
If you're listening. Excuse me.
I watched the hearings today in the Capitol. They explained things better than you.
Yeah, because they didn't say anything.
Holy mackerel. So it's on one thing and
it's on three different things afterwards. There's multiple ways you can listen to us on demand.
Okay.
And like I said, the whole thing, Audio Mac wound up bouncing one of the hours. No idea why. Mind you, I was not here, obviously. The Wizard, and I can't believe we're 5 minutes into it. We haven't even played it.
You're out to see the Wizard, the wonderful Wizard of Oz.
That would be Clint, our wizard behind that wall. And you can, that's a little, that one's a little loud, Clint.
All right. We used a song that we didn't have rights on or something?
I guess. Probably one of the more modern songs, because I know we usually kind of run into that issue every now and again. But, like I said, usually I know usually where we're at on that.
Well, you weren't here, Clint.
Exactly. I was not here, so I don't know.
So this music service just takes the whole hour off?
Yeah, because you're not going to...
Can't we just delete the song off of it?
We could.
You've got to find out
But like I said, I don't know what it was.
Can we delete the service?
I wouldn't, because like I said, we already got banned from one service, and this place hasn't banned us yet, so...
And we want to start using these cameras for podcasts.
Well...
I don't.
I don't have the face for that. You only want.
I think Tom just wants. Tom, why don't you just Facebook Live this whole thing?
He's got the TV background. He needs.
You could do that, Tom. Stick your phone over there.
Yeah.
Don't put Bobby's because it's 1995. So it doesn't have one of those things on there.
Does it even have a camera? That's the question.
No.
You don't want me on camera.
Yeah, I mean, you dress up for this thing.
This is something
he
else.
No,
it's
quite
because
dapper.
It's cold in here.
Yeah, we had shorts and stuff, and you all dressed
Bob
up.
Bob is,
with
without a doubt,
coat.
The best-dressed radio host in America.
In this
also,
room.
Also,
in this room.
Also the most cheaply dressed radio host in America.
And that's why I command such a high price for my services.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, but I tell you what, for $10, hey, you got a hell of an outfit on right there. I mean, the sports jacket, the shoes, the socks. I mean, that's sharp for $10.
And it matches.
And on Saturday morning, this Saturday morning.
There's a Goodwill special?
From 7 to 9, you can go to the early bird special, and everything is a dollar.
Look at Bruce. Bruce about to lose.
Is he taking notes right now?
No, Bruce is going like, man, why am I here? Good Lord, why am I with these guys? We get a Goodwill up. We had
like
a Goodwill up.
The more we go on, the show has no standards.
I mean, it's a dollar.
No, but we haven't had a Goodwill update in a while.
That
so
would require me.
That
would require me waking up before 9 on a Saturday.
It's an early bird special, and what?
How early?
Seven to nine. Everything is a dollar.
Everything. The whole. Everything.
The whole
in the store.
If the clothes are like $5.99 or down. Or less, they're a dollar.
Oh, okay.
But, I mean, everything, like jeans and shirts and
dude, we could go
sports
clean
coats
them out and then open our own shop.
No, I saw a leather jacket in there one day when I went with Bobby.
Bruce, you want to go with me and get a cup of coffee? Come on back later.
At a price tag, it's $2.79, man. $2.79 was $12.
Dang.
Yeah, man. So if you're in the leather jackets, I mean, you know. But anyway... Where are we going?
I saw a commercial on one of these things on Facebook, and, you know, they're all ads now. You got to fight to get away from them. These great-looking motorcycle leather jackets.
That's what it was.
70% off.
Uh-huh. How much was it?
I don't know. I wasn't going to go up because I figured they jacked it up so high and then dropped it down 70% from that.
Well, this one was $279. It had the price tag on. It was brand new.
Yeah.
It was on a rack, and it was like $12. I almost bought it just because it was $12. I mean, it didn't fit me, but I figured somebody would
fit you.
I may make a good Christmas gift one time. He
usually
was like, here you go, man. Huh?
Usually you want clothes to fit, Glenn.
I know, but I could give it away one day, you know? And they go like, man, look, Glenn thought a lot of me, $279.
leave that tag on. Huh?
Yeah, I'm going to leave that one on. Uh-huh.
And if you keep saving money, then you can donate to the LSU Athletic Fund.
Oh, you're talking about for those locker
room? For the locker room fund?
Yeah.
I
thought we were going to talk about that.
Oh, we'll get
well, we will. I didn't know we were going to open with it, but if you want to open with it, go ahead, Bobby. You're on.
Yeah. Evidently, it's created quite a meteor firestorm from both sides, those who are supporting the donations and those who say the money should go somewhere else, all $28 million.
Yep. So we have the point counterpoint or the liberal conservative point.
Yeah.
And Mr. Don Allen, of course, has the liberal point.
Don's
says
point
it should
is,
go
Don's
to the professors
is,
and everybody.
Yeah. No, Don's so, point is just spend.
No. He wants it to go somewhere else. He doesn't want donated money going to where the people donating the money want it to go. He wants it spread out. Kinda like your boy Bernie. You know, just spread it out to everybody.
Well,
isn't that just...
Not my boy.
Nice. Well, look at my eyes, man. My eyes get killed, man. Lord, I'm done.
I mean, I think the underlying story is what's wrong with these... What's wrong with this picture and what's wrong with the priorities of the donors? I think that's the whole issue.
All right. Can I go?
When has that ever stopped you?
I know. I don't know why you...
I really enjoy the video of them going into the locker room for the first time. Did y'all see that?
Hey,
damn,
that
I missed that.
Was
what
special.
Was it? That was special?
That was special. Yeah, they opened the doors and the guys all came in, running in. One guy was holding himself, you know.
Where was he holding himself?
You know what I'm talking about. On camera as he's running in, you know.
Looking for a bathroom?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm like, you got to be kidding me.
Yeah.
And this is why we come to school here, for the $28 million
Hold
locker room.
Tiger.
Yeah.
All right. So I'll be pro locker room. And the guys that wanted to give the money, kind of like the Honey Badger said, that's his money.
That's right.
If he wants it to go there, to help them to recruit better players to beat Alabama, because that's what it's all about. You got to impress those recruits. And if this doesn't impress them, I don't know what will. Now, will it make a difference in
better
their opinion?
Better coaching might.
You still got to get them there.
They've got them there.
So are you saying the locker room will make them play better?
Yeah, they've got them there.
I'm saying a kid walks into a place like that, has never been in a place like that, he's in total awe when he sees something like that.
And he's
then he comes visit
holding
you.
Himself and running right to the bathroom without even looking.
Yeah, and my biggest concern is they say that they each have their own little individual space that they can actually lay out and nap in.
Right.
I hope they wake up in time to take the field.
Eric Reed was complaining, and somebody did the math. They said you made $1.69 million last year. I'm going to take off 2% for your agent, which you probably didn't pay him that. And we're going to take the difference. So you got about $160-something thousand to donate. Why don't you send that money to the academic programs at LSU? You want to complain? Send your $160,000 because you say you give 10%. So go ahead and send it to the academic people at LSU.
Did Eric Reed graduate?
I don't know if he did or not, but he was one of the ones complaining, and the Honey Badger came back and blasted him on Twitter, and I think he's had one or two other former players that are like, it's our money. If we want to give them money to help the athletic program to attract more recruits, we're going to do that. And if you think that doesn't help get recruits, then you don't know nothing about recruiting.
I'm not too sure about an individual cubicle where you can lay down and nap in.
I thought it was ingenious.
It's going to get a lot more better recruits.
When I looked at that, you know what I thought that was?
Like daycare.
Yeah. No.
They have their own little pads to sleep.
Did the Honey Badger graduate?
My first
name. Does anybody remember his name?
No, he did not. Tyrone Mathis. Matthew.
Yeah.
Everybody remembers him.
When I first looked at this, my first thought, you're going to laugh, was a Dubai Airlines first class pod. That's what it looks like. If you fly, I've seen the commercials for that a bunch, and I love it because I said, before I die, I want to spend $30,000 on a ticket just to get that pod to fly from here to there, just to experience it. But that's what it is. They have pods like that with stretch-out beds, the TVs, man, it's unbelievable.
When you get ready to do LSU's that, if you give me the $30,000, I'll let you, like, spread out in the back of my truck, and it'll be money well spent. Oh, yeah.
So LSU's got locker rooms that a Middle Eastern
airline
would be proud of.
Absolutely.
Oh,
absolutely. I might have got the idea from there. You know? Those pods. I mean, whoever came up with this, I mean, that's special, man. That's nice.
It's special, all right.
So you mean to tell me?
I think originally Al-Qaeda came up with that idea.
No, they don't have electronics like this. They just have them for bombs and stuff. They don't have this. So, I mean, you look at it, all that purple in there and everything.
All that purple in there and everything.
Impressionable young men.
What exactly is it? Where exactly is it? I was told it was between Nicholson Drive and the stadium, but that's a lot open. Is it like, was it built in the parking lot?
No, it's in a spaceship above the field.
So now they basically have two locker rooms is what we're saying. They've got the one at the practice field.
Why are y'all knocking it? Somebody call and help me out.
I'm just asking a question.
Why do I find myself defending LSU when I never defended LSU?
I don't care where they dress. I'm just asking a simple question. They actually have three locker rooms now. They've got one at the practice field, one at the stadium, and this $28 million Iranian pod system.
If somebody donates...
Very good, Tom.
Tom. I'll give you A+ for that one, Tom. If I'm going to give you money to do something with, why do I have to listen to one of you guys to tell me what to do with the money I donate?
Because you love it.
No, I want somebody to tell me, like that professor.
Oh, I don't care
why
what
should,
they do.
If I work for my money and I give it to Bruce and say, Bruce, I want you to do this, why should I have Bobby telling me, oh, no, you should do this because this is better? It's my money.
Well, let me just say this, okay? I'm not going to lose any sleep over this. I could care less what they do with it.
Clint, how much? Did
he needs help, Clint.
Yeah.
No.
He's outnumbered.
Clint.
All right, what's up?
That's my man. That's behind the curtain.
Oh, here's what's up, Clint. You're not listening.
No, well, I want him to get his question out.
No, I want.
He has no question.
I'm waiting.
Listen to him because he knows everything. Listen.
He knows where to eat in Hoover, Alabama. That's about the extent of it.
Where is the where's the sentiment? Well, who's winning this battle?
I mean, in this debate, it's clear to say that you're definitely outnumbered. But I feel like whenever
I'm talking about outside, from what you hear, y'all hearing it.
I think it's definitely from the athlete perspective because it's all about, like I said, if you think you're winning the recruiting battle,
thank you.
Right now, you're winning it right now, but you're adding a little bit more to it because why are we complaining about this when you've got what's going on in Alabama? Because if I'm not mistaken, Alabama's got a damn waterfall in their facility. That's on another level, guys. Like I think we're complaining about them having pods so they can take a nap in. That at least makes sense from an athlete's perspective after a workout to get you to recover. Because Tommy Maffei, we had him on the show yesterday, and he talked about how important getting rest is. While there's a damn waterfall hanging out in Alabama's practice facility, when I'm certain there's no waterfalls in Alabama.
You know how relaxing waterfall sounds are.
But I think this is literally just in the epicenter of the university.
But I understand.
But you do realize that waterfall was donated by outside donors.
Exactly. Yeah. Okay. Just like LSU is.
Okay, so what's the problem?
There is no problem.
Yes, there's a problem. My four guys are against it.
I have never said I'm against this at all.
I understand that Saban.
I haven't said a word against it.
I understand Saban is building a lazy river around the practice facility.
Well, I think LSU's been trying to do that for a while also. So there's that.
This is Five Guys Stories and Lies. We've got 2 hours worth of this coming to you tonight with Louis Cook, former UL assistant coach, current head coach at Notre Dame High School in Crowley, and has been for 63 years. He will join us on the show at 7 o'clock. We'll be back with more right after this.
Raymond Parks III here, host of RP3 and Company, reminding you to tune in.
Now, back to Five Guys Stories and Lies on 103.7 The Game.
Last week, former USL athletic director Nelson Schreckstatter joined us on the show. And didn't he say, because you'll have better memories than I do, didn't he say that when he was through being AD, the athletic budget was about $30 million?
No, they topped out at $8 million.
I thought it was more like $8 or $9 million. Yeah.
And Tennessee's athletic football budget was $32 million.
It was $32 million, and now there are pods that cost $28 million.
That's incredible.
From donations. Let's get that straight.
That's
not state
what
money.
We're told.
You mentioned Schreckstatter. This whole thing reminds me of when Mel Didier was athletic director, and Jerry Simmons was here as a tennis coach, who's now in the Louisiana Sports Hall of Fame. Didier came to him and said, "This money that your people are donating as tennis patrons, we want that in the general athletic fund." And Simmons says they're not donating to the general athletic fund; they're donating to tennis. And that was one of the bones of contention why Simmons left for LSU. Mm-hmm. Was that he was asked to share his lucre with the rest of the programs?
God, I wouldn't want to ask the tennis program to be sharing anything with everybody else.
Really,
it's hard enough for them to get money at all.
They pretty much all do that, though.
That's how good a job he did of getting people behind him in his era. And it's this thing about when people are complaining that you should donate to the library instead. Well, I'm all for the library myself. I spent most of my college life in there. But if someone is donating their money, they should have the option of where to put it. I may disagree with where they're putting it.
Well, I'm sure Alfred Lampson's money, I'm sure, went to softball, correct?
A great majority. The majority of it, I'm guessing, did.
Yeah.
I'm guessing it did.
Probably not all of it.
No.
Yeah. I mean, that's why he had a suite, for example, at Cajun Field.
Yeah.
I don't know what else Alf and the family had.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I think a majority. Of it went to softball.
Yeah, look, baseball,
Bruce was talking about the library. I don't know how many years I spent at USL, a bunch. And I've got, like, in my minuscule apartment about the size of this control room, I've got, like, I don't know, 500 hardcover books. Wow. I never set foot in the USL library in all the years I was there.
What are you keeping the books for?
I just do. I read them and I keep them. I don't.
I know you're a big reader. That's
I don't get rid of them. I just don't.
I don't think I ever set foot in the library either. I was just too smart.
And all he has is a couple of comics.
See, I don't claim that, Tom.
Excuse me. Time out. Tom just asserted that he was too smart to go to the library.
Yes.
I just want that on the record.
Well, you can, go check out. He's got a book collection, too, but it's comic books. So, I mean, you can go check that out.
Classics Illustrated.
Yes.
Graphic novels.
Mad Magazine.
By the way.
Oh, is that the correct name for comic books?
Yes.
What is comic?
Well, they are now graphic novels.
Yes. Yeah. You serious?
Called. Yes. Very serious.
Mm-hmm. No way.
Like Fear the Walking Dead.
For a while.
Yeah.
And I understand that Robert, what's his name, Clint? The guy who created The Walking Dead?
Yeah, Robert Kirkman.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he has ended the graphic novel, Walking Dead.
Yep.
How do you do it anyway?
I don't know. I haven't read it all the way through. But like I said, they actually also have these nowadays where they have them all in collections where it's like volume one, volume two, volume three. That's a big reason why the phrase comic book has shifted into graphic novel, I'd say, over the last like 20 years.
But
he has a spinoff now, Fear the Walking Dead.
Yeah.
But that's
a different time. And don't think that because he finished the novel, they're going to stop the TV series.
Well, the TV series
is too popular. They're not. Yeah. They're not going
it's
to
way
stop
too
it.
Popular.
Well, the TV series is way different compared to the actual comic book. And you'll notice that if you.
Graphic novel.
Graphic novel. Thank you.
I regret ever saying comic book. How the hell we got to this from the pods.
Yeah, the Walking.
And the LSU locker
room. Fear the Walking.
Because they're both graphic novels in a way, Glenn.
All right. Well, y'all. How do y'all feel about it? I said how I feel about it. I don't think there's a thing wrong with it. I think it's great. I think it's going to help get recruits. I want to hear y'all's side on that.
I do not fight the fact that they were able to do this and they consider where their money is. I do, however, think it's another sign of the apocalypse that this is being done at all.
Wow, that's deep, man. That's deep. The apocalypse.
Education of higher, institution of higher learning.
But
without
okay.
ever going to the library, yeah.
No, but you know what? You saying that, now I might be wrong and the LSU person can call me 706-0111. I was waiting for you to give it. But anyway, I was talking to somebody today. Said, I don't understand what they have to complain about because their auditoriums where they have some of their classes, you go in there and it's regular. It's like a movie theater with built-in laptops and all kind of other stuff. It's like, what the hell else do you want? What do you want? And let me tell you something. And they were saying, well, why don't you give that to the general population of students? Do something like that. I got a doctor friend who opened up an office, and he thought it would be really nice to put some $500 to $1,000 massage chairs in there for the general public who came in there, and none of them work today. All right, because they're not going to take care of them. Like say that football team, they know they better not mess with that stuff, or they're going to be in trouble.
Earth to Glenn.
High schools are like that now. Textbooks are a thing of the past. Everybody's got a computer. Now when you walk in the first day of high school, you get a Chromebook.
It's all Chromebook.
That's
now.
Right. So everything's online.
But is it built in an auditorium?
That's not built in an auditorium, but it's given to you so you can take it home and do your homework on.
I don't know for a fact. He's telling me at LSU.
They do have
built-in deals when you sit down.
Well, they do have portions of the library.
Well, what else could you want?
You would want to take a commercial break, which is why we're playing the music in the background. Five Guys, Stories and Lies.
He can't hear that. Everything's just running around in his head right now.
No, we got to put the pod next to the iPad.
Oh, jeez. We'll be back after this.
Stories and Pods.
They're here to tell it like it is and how it was. This is Five Guys, Stories and Lies on 103.7 The Game.
Five Guys, Stories and Lies on this Wednesday evening. And again, Louis Cook current Rain High head football coach.
Notre Dame.
Notre Dame High. Same city. And former UL.
Wrong again.
Well, actually, it was former USL offensive coordinator for the Cajuns under Nelson Stokley. He'll join us at 7. This was your opportunities to just jump in with whatever was on your mind.
And, yeah, because I was holding back, see? Because I was going to say we're back to pod hour, but guess not.
Does anybody know what happened to Megan Rapinoe?
Yeah, she collected a Golden Boot award and also a World Cup championship.
Since the World Cup's over, has anyone seen her or heard from her?
No, Donald Trump hasn't given her enough of an opportunity to speak to this point. Trump, being on his tweet category, putting down Mueller, and if you read the story, he didn't say anything.
We're going to go to politics now because we've been waiting for this, man.
You started it with Rapinoe.
Yeah, but Mueller looked terrible today.
Oh, yeah.
I don't care what side of the aisle you're on because even the Democrats are saying
he looked senile. He didn't know anything on his own report.
I guarantee you he didn't write that report.
No.
Because he couldn't answer the questions. It's pretty obvious he didn't write the report.
I think it's Mueller, not Mueller.
Yeah, it is Mueller. Yeah.
I just think he looked like he wanted to be anywhere else except where he was.
Well, he didn't want to go to begin with. You're right. You know? I mean, he probably said,
Bruce, it's kind of like you and I right here tonight. We'd rather be anywhere else.
He probably said, could you repeat that question?
No, I'm there
sometimes. Could you repeat that question? You know, half the time.
Okay, enough of politics. Enough of politics. None of y'all watched the baseball game last night, and I don't blame you in a way. The Yankees and Twins, and it was on the Major League Baseball Network, and it was a 7 o'clock start, which is an hour later than we're normally used to if you watch many games through that, because they usually start at 6 our time. Mm-hmm. Well, they started at 7. It ended at 12:03.
Good Lord.
And you watched it all that time?
Yes, I could.
You got nothing else to do.
No, I didn't have anything else to do except go to sleep, go to bed. And I kept thinking, well, I'll be able to turn it off because this is about over.
Any minute now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Twins lead the majors in home runs. They're going to shatter the all-time home run record by, what, 25 home runs? Something like that? 50? I don't know. Something. Anyway, they hit 4 more last night. That was after hitting 5 on Monday night.
Good Lord.
Wow.
So they lead the Yanks like 8-2 or into the fifth, and Didi Gregorius hits a 3-run homer for the Yanks to make it 8-5. Twins come back with another solo home run, 9-5. Go to the top of the eighth, and the Yankees, without a home run but with 4 doubles in the inning, all of them bouncing off this really high target wall. It's a strange stadium, and balls just want to fly out of there if you can get them up over those huge walls. Anyway, the Yanks score 5 times, make it 10-9 as we head to the bottom of the eighth. Whereupon they send in Zach Britton to hold the fort, and Miguel Sano hits a pitch 457 feet.
So much for closing things out.
Jeez.
To make it 11-10.
With the balls on the juiced.
Go to the top of the ninth. First two Yanks go very quietly. Minnesota's ace is in the game. He walks a guy on a 3-2 count. First pitch to Aaron Hicks. Fastball ends up 414 feet away. So now it's 12-11 Yanks. So in comes Chapman. Aroldis Chapman, right? Close it out. Walks the first three batters that he faces.
Jeez, next
guy up hits a shot to left field. They track it down, but they score on a sac fly, and then Minnesota can't get another run in. So it's 12-12 as you move to the 10th. The Yanks get a couple of runs to make it 14-12. Well, by this time, Chapman is out of the game. He threw like 30-something pitches in that one inning, so he's out. And they bring in Adam Ottavino, the guy who, when they signed him, said he could strike out Babe Ruth, right?
Incorrect.
Gets 2 outs, but walks the bases loaded for the second straight inning. Next guy up hits a bullet to deep left center field that Aaron Hicks, on a full run, stretches out for makes a one-handed, backhanded catch as he slides into the warning track to end the game.
Good Lord. What drama.
What? Oh, if I'm telling you, if had it been a playoff game, it would have gone down as an instant classic.
Oh, yeah, you'd see it every summer.
Are you riveted to your seat right now hearing that explanation?
Good. That sounds like good stuff.
It was good stuff.
5 hours of Major League Baseball. That would be like me being strapped in a chair and having all my fingernails pulled out. Oh,
that can be arranged also.
We've got people who can do that.
Yeah. I just finished a 600-page biography of Stalin. There was some pretty good stuff going on. He could have figured something to keep you busy, Tom.
Are you comparing my story to a 600 page?
No, he read it while you were telling that story.
Yeah.
And yes, Tom, the Yankees won. I'm going to mention it again a couple more times.
Well, it's okay. There's some great softball going on out at Lampson Park.
Oh, that's right. No, he can talk about this.
Team USA against the Scrapyard Dogs played last night, and they're playing again tonight, and they're playing again tomorrow night.
Yeah. These are exhibition games that are being played at Lampson. Yeah. Who won last night?
I don't know.
Oh, way to pay.
Were you there?
Let's talk about riveting.
I left early.
So tell me why I should go.
If you like softball, you go and watch these. You think your team is really good, which they are, and then you watch these girls play who are the elite of the elite. It's something to watch, man. Kat Osterman pitching, Mount Monica Abbott. Those are names you probably wouldn't. Those names are probably registering with you, like those baseball names Don called out registered with me. But, I mean, it's some great players, man. You know, these are the best of the best.
What was the score when you left?
Scrapyard had some, and the
Did you even go, Tom?
What you got? You got something, Clint? You're about to see the wizard, the
wonderful Wizard of Oz. For Tom and probably the five other people who are interested, the Team U.S. won 6-0 shutout win last night.
So Scrapyard didn't have some runs.
No.
Okay.
They had some hits, maybe. I was in the outfield and with many trips to the concession stand.
Well, how many
people safe to say
there
weren't many soda pops.
A pretty good crowd. You know, it looked like about half the stadium.
Yeah, it's okay.
You know, spread out a little
bit. So why are they playing here?
It's just something that they lined up. They go around and they play in different places. They're in training for the Olympics, huh?
I mean, also the fact you have Glasgow probably have a close connection
Glasgow
with them,
probably.
And also with the scrapyard dogs. So yeah, that was probably something that was going on with that.
Was it night to last night?
It's a fun. No, they play tomorrow night. Thursday night's the last night.
It's a 3-game series.
And then tomorrow, last night too. You know, it rained pretty good, so I think might have kept some people away. You know, I don't know what it's like tonight, but I'll be there tomorrow.
Well, it'll be nice tonight, man.
I'll be there tomorrow night. You know,
that'll probably be nice tomorrow night. Also,
oh yeah. Hey, wait. No, nobody said anything about that USA Today writer that said the Saints weren't going to win that division and weren't going to make it to the Super Bowl.
Oh, yeah, he's got the Falcons winning, going 11-5, and the Saints going 10-6.
I could almost see that.
And the guy at Athlon Sports has the Saints going 15-1.
15-1.
15-1.
Who did they lose?
That's a little bit of a stretch.
Who did they lose?
I didn't see the breakdown on who they lost to, but
nobody goes 15-1.
Man, it's like
anymore.
The Kentucky Derby. How many times a favorite does what they're supposed to do? Rarely. And coming back after a year like they had last year.
He also has.
I can see a USA Today writer's point. I can see that.
He also has the demise of the Patriots. He doesn't even have them winning their division.
Yeah, that's every year.
Who's going to win that division besides them?
It won't.
There's some bad
you
teams
got,
in that
you got Bruce it coming out of his chair.
Probably the Jets, because some writer picked the Jets as, like, in the top five of the teams, and they had the Saints, like.
Because of their moves with free agents and
the
draft
Jets.
Picks.
Yeah, I know.
The Jets. Somebody needs to check that guy.
Jets.
Somebody
said J-E-S-T.
Anonymous testing. Let's just go with that.
Yeah.
No, the Jets.
Like I'm the Tennessee Titans offensive lineman, Taylor Lewin, got popped for PEDs.
And the Saints have put Sheldon Rankins on the physically unable to perform list.
Who?
Sheldon Rankins.
Who?
Second year defensive tackle?
Yes, he was pretty good before he got hurt.
He was back before
the opener, though, huh?
Yeah.
So he misses a little training camp. Everybody'd love to miss some training camp.
He's coming back from that Achilles injury. It could be a little bit longer.
He should go to LSU and get in a pod. He'll get healed right away.
He'll probably work out there so that he can
sleep
in the pod.
Over.
And that's going to get him back in physical shape.
Oh, yeah, man.
I figure he has got the money to contribute to those pods.
A lot of the players did. You want to go back there? We
people
back
are high there. On Kansas City, man. The Chiefs.
I'm high on Mahomes. Kansas City.
And then Tyreek Hill is back. Hill got no suspension.
Nothing happened to him.
He got his suspension lifted because...
I don't know that anybody can judge that case because not it all didn't come out.
No, and he, you know, basically it never even went to trial, did it?
Why don't you explain,
what
the charges were?
Child abuse. Okay. The charges were child abuse
but
against his child.
No one could prove whether it was he or his wife.
Something like that.
Yeah. No, that is. Yeah. That was that.
Yeah.
They couldn't prove whether it was he or his wife.
Well,
and
either way.
Because they couldn't prove anything one way or the other, you can't suspend him for thinking that might have happened. You know,
either way, it was a matter of Roger Goodell being inconsistent as usual. There's a similar case of defensive lineman from Seattle. He got six weeks, and Tyreek Hill had nothing. And their cases are very similar. You know, I forgot the guy's name, but he's one of their stalwart defensive linemen. But you got Kansas City Super Bowl contender, high-profile player.
And Tyreek Hill's being considered to be the top receiving threat this year by a lot of people in the league.
Sure.
And he's so explosive.
Yeah. So, we can't suspend him. Yeah.
No, that's Goodell, typical. One day he'll say something, and the other day he'll say the other. You know.
Well, you know what's going to be fun to watch in terms of the NFL is all these guys that jumped ship and went to other teams. Like, do you think Antonio Brown is going to be as good as he was with Roethlisberger?
Think he'll miss Roethlisberger?
Throwing
to him?
I don't know, but Derek Carr is going to love him. I know that much.
Well, yeah.
With the Raiders.
With no question about that, you know.
Well, speaking of people leaving and going to other teams, Odell Beckham Jr. lands in Cleveland. And the headline in the Cleveland paper said, "The ego has landed." Which I thought was pretty nice.
Man, they must have somebody from the New York Post over there.
Yeah, somebody changed ships.
He is every bit as polarizing as Le'Veon Bell is.
Oh,
yeah.
Man.
Every bit.
Man,
with
their, I like that.
With their draft picks the last two seasons and the players they've picked up, if Cleveland doesn't have a winning season this year, they might as well just all leave and shut it down.
Oh, they're highly optimistic.
They're very optimistic.
As well they should be.
Yeah, and their defense wasn't bad last year at all.
They're going to be fun.
But they won't have the same defensive coordinator because Greg Williams went to the Jets.
Ooh, Greg Williams. But there's one thing.
He's a good defensive coordinator.
There's one thing that's going to hamper them. They're in Cleveland. Oh, that spurred some music there.
Yeah, that's the I Love Cleveland song, Tom. It's also a notification that we need to take another break. You're listening to Five Guys Stories and Lies on this Wednesday evening. We've got Louis Cook joining us about 15 minutes from now. 706-0111, that's your number at the studios on the Ardco Equipment Hotline.
Don gave the number, man.
And we'll be back after this.
The viewpoints heard on this program could be considered politically incorrect.
Good thing they're too old to care.
Well, that's easy for you to say.
This is Five Guys Stories and Lies on 103.7 The Game.
Okay.
It's good.
What do you got on your mind, Glenn?
Who, me?
Yeah.
The other Glenn.
The other Glenn.
Yeah, the other Glenn.
I don't know. It's full. No, I just got a text. My son and then lost in the semis of the American Legion.
I was
going
to say, tell them about the American Legion tournament.
Oh, it was a hell of a tournament, man. The Crowley American Legion team, the American Legion tournament every year is in New Orleans, and New Orleans has powerhouse teams with budgets up to $50,000 for the summer, if you can believe that. But that's a fact because it came from.
Look, if I can believe $28 million with the pods, I can believe $50,000
budgets
for AL.
American Legion. Yeah,
yeah, right.
And so they have teams up there that got all kind of money and stuff, and they come from big schools and big parishes, and so Little Crowley with players from Iota, Crowley, Church Point, Jennings. Finished third in that tournament and almost knocked off the team that was in the final. They lost it in the seventh yesterday. But it's a heck of a run for a small town team. And then Bobby's team, St. Landry Bank, is it?
The Indians. Yeah.
Yeah, and they made a good run. They lost their first game, came back, won the next two, and I think they finished third maybe last year, the year before. They made a heck of a run. And let me tell you something, that's some really good teams. In fact, talking to the director over there, he said whoever wins the tournament in New Orleans, and now it's down to Homer's, they call them the Southland Hogs, and a Jesuit-based
Rediff
Oil, it's down to those two. They're playing tomorrow, winner take all, because everybody had one loss. And he was saying that he'd seen the best teams in all the states in the South. It's about eight teams that'll go to Tampa, and the winner of that one will go to the American Legion World Series. He said the winner coming out of this tournament will win it. And one of the reasons he based that on was because a team from Baton Rouge, Gauche Amity, which is one of the – they're the defending state champion and regional champion. They went to the World Series last year. They hosted a tournament this year with five of the other state champions. And it was – I think it was Rediff Oil – either Rediff Oil or Pedal Valve from New Orleans and Gauche Amity in the finals. Gauche Amity won every tournament it went to out of state, and it finished second in this tournament to, again, Rediff Oil or the other New Orleans teams. So he's saying whoever goes over there is probably going to wind up. That's how good the teams are in this tournament. And for a little team like Chris and them had with kids from Welsh and Iota and things like that to go compete against those guys, just incredible, you know. So very
it's a great. It's a great run, but now we won't get to see Glenn's headline on his story, which was going to be Hoosiers lives in Crowley.
That's right. I was going to do it.
It's a good story. I mean,
if they would have won that tournament, that's exactly what it would have been like. That little bitty town going to the big city, New Orleans,
definitely,
and whipping up on all of New
Orleans. How many teams from our area have won state?
Lafayette Burger Chef won. Yeah. To my knowledge, that's the only one. That's
still
won.
The only one. That's
to my knowledge.
Garrett O'Connor rests his whole pitch that win and hit the winning home run.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, to my knowledge, that's the only state champion we've ever had from Southwest Louisiana. New Orleans dominates it. And like Tom was saying coming over here, they used to have a team, you remember this. You remember Shaft Brothers?
Could they hit?
They won every year.
That was like the Bronx Bombers. I mean, those guys. The thing about it, Don, is those teams in New Orleans, they have their teams are made up a lot of kids that go off to college, play their freshman year in college, and they come back and they play for their school-based teams like Jesuit and some of those places. But Shaft Brothers used to be something.
Because the age is like 19, isn't it?
Yes, it's 19.
Yeah, the age is 19. So the guys that go off to college, you know, when they graduate, they come back and they play during the summer after their freshman year in college in New Orleans. It's been big for 40 years like that, you know. And the American Legion teams in New Orleans are like the select teams today.
They are select.
I mean, and they pick the best kids from 5A schools. So they're pulling from, you know, a better lot, more or less, I guess you could say. Yeah. You know?
The Gauche Amity team, their coach is a friend of mine. And I asked him how he did it, and he says, "I said, well, how do you pick them from your tryouts?" He said, "There's no tryouts." I said, "What do you mean there's no tryouts?" He said, "We in Ascension Parish they have 4 or 5A schools, so he's an ex high school coach, he's retired, so he goes around and watches all of the schools, watches their players. At the end, towards the end of the season, he sends letters to the players he wants, and like if you want to play for us, and they know." You go play for them, you're going to play like they played in Arkansas, Alabama, Tennessee. They may have played in Florida. They go play the best talent they can find. So those kids know. But he hand picks those kids from all of those schools and then whatever he's got coming back, of course. So talent, they got. When I drove up to the park yesterday, I was watching the other team's pitcher warm up. You know, getting old, I forgot how fast those guys can be, especially when you're sitting up. Like at Curse Rooney, you sitting right up on home plate almost. And I'm telling you, he was warming up, and I go like, how in the heck can anybody hit the ball coming in as fast as he can? And let me tell you something. The little Crowley team ripped him. I mean ripped him. They were ahead 7-6 going into the seventh, and they lost their pitcher to pitch count and relief pitchers – didn't hold a lead. But it's amazing. It's a good American Legion program.
I used to play Legion ball way back when.
Where at? Here?
Yeah, played for Garrity Bank.
Oh, yeah. Claude Blakeney? No, that was way after your time.
Did they have Who uniforms back then?
Yes, Tom, they had uniforms.
But y'all had those wool uniforms? Yeah.
No.
No?
No.
Oh, we had that when I was playing. Wool?
No.
You played in the summertime with wool.
Yes.
That tells you something.
Anyway, played at Clark Field.
Yeah.
That's where our home games were.
That's short
and
right
I think
field
I've
porch.
Told you this before. Yeah, the short left field porch about 440 feet.
No,
from
right field
plate.
Porch, I said.
Center field is the short one.
Okay.
And then it branches out a little bit to right. It's a little bit longer there.
Yeah.
But, you know, left center field has got to be had to be like 420, 440.
Remember Jack Clark there?
Yeah.
Played for the Drillers.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Anyway, I remember in Legion Ball, Harry Stelly pitched for the team that wasn't mine.
Yeah.
I remember facing him. I think Orrin Toss threw for us. And Orrin was a right-hander. Could throw it really hard. I think.
Wasn't Harry Stelly from Opelousas originally?
Yeah, what are you, like a sheriff?
Opelousas or Abbeville? I wanted to say Abbeville.
I've heard that name before.
No, he was from...
I thought he was from Sunset.
He's in the UL Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I mean, he way back when, he was the pitcher for the Opelousas Warriors, which in the early 60s and late 50s was the only team in... Okay. Was the only Legion team in Opelousas.
Okay.
Short left-hand guy, right?
Yeah.
I don't remember him being that short. I remember that ball coming in pretty quickly.
Yeah, he was good.
We need to take a commercial break. When we come back, Louis Cook will be with us. This is Five Guys, Stories and Lies as we hit the 7 o'clock hour. Back in a moment.
Live and local, this is Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game. With over 200 combined years of sports coverage in Acadiana, this is a gathering unlike any other.
Well, every week this show looks better to me.
Every week your eyesight gets worse.
This is Five Guys, Stories and Lies. Here's your host, Don Allen.
That's wrong, dude.
Yeah, that's really. That's
just wrong. You're proud of that, aren't you? Louis, we apologize ahead of time.
Yeah, we had nothing to do with
we
that.
We had nothing to do with that. It was Don Allen, A-L-L-E-N. I'll get you his address when I get home.
Louis, that was your introduction of Louis Louis. Do you remember the song?
I got you.
I love it.
Now, he's impressed, Don. He's really impressed. He's impressed him.
That's not the only one. We got another one coming later. Louis Cook is with us this evening. Louis is the current head football coach at Notre Dame High School in Crowley for how many years, Louis? Louis?
I'm sorry.
Oh, there you go.
Hey, guys.
Okay, we're
hey,
back.
Louis.
22nd year, right? Or 23rd?
I'll be starting 23.
You're starting 23, right. 22 seasons over there. Yeah.
And you were formerly a... head coach or assistant coach under Nelson Stokley.
Correct.
Back in the day. How many times were you an assistant at USL?
Sam,
USL? Was it once or twice?
Twice.
Twice. I was with Sam. I came in 81 with Sam and spent 4 years, and then back in 92 with Nelson for 4 more years. So I had 8 years altogether with the Cajuns.
Do you ever regret leaving college football for high school?
You know, there's times where I've kind of wondered, you know, how it would have been if I'd have stayed. And I've often said, had my two boys, you know, well, I have three boys, but the two, when I left in 92, in 96, it was when Lewis, my oldest son, was going to ninth grade. And I have made the statement that, had both of them been out of high school, at that point, I probably would have stayed because I had Jake. Jake had another year to go, and, you know, Nelson was – I really enjoyed working for Nelson, and we had some good guys, and we had some good players, you know. And so, but, you know, it came down to the two things. Number one, that, you know, my boys were getting ready to go into high school. Lou and Jeff was only 2 years behind. And the other thing, Don, if you remember, we were going back to the independent in 96. You know, yep. We got in the Big West Conference, and it was fun having to play. We won, you know, we were co-champs twice in the Big West.
Yeah.
And it was so much, it was easier to recruit, you know, because we had something. It was, you remember, it was an automatic tie into the Las Vegas Bowl. We didn't get there because we lost a tiebreaker both times. If you remember, in 93, during Nevada loses to Arkansas State on a Hail Mary.
Oh, you're going to remind me.
Last play of the game.
You're going to remind me of that game. That was such a miserable
thing. We'd have been going to Vegas, Don.
One about six passes that Arkansas State completed all year, wasn't it?
Probably right.
Yeah, a literal 50-something yarder on the last play of the game.
That's absurd.
Yeah, to win the game. Kept us out of the Las Vegas Bowl.
Yeah.
which left USL in Lafayette.
Yeah.
Did you ever consider, or were there opportunities for you to, leave high school to come back to the college ranks? Have there been anything like that in the last two decades?
There was, Don. When I went to Crowley High School, which I got there in 85 when I took the job, you know, I thought the handwriting on the wall was a change coming about, you know, while Sam was there, and that he would be moving on to do something else. And so I took the job at Crowley. They hadn't won a game in 2 years. They'd actually lost 22 straight games. It lost the last two games of 82, 0-10 in 83, 0-10 in 84, and I'm going in 85. And I know everybody thought I was losing my mind. I'm giving up a full-time college job. But, you know, we won the state championship 5 years later. But after my third year there, Greg Davis, I remember Greg was offensive coordinator at Texas when they had the quarterback when he won the national championship. Greg got the job at Tulane, and he came to Crowley to see me one day and, you know, wanted to know if I'd be interested in going. And I said, well, I don't want to live in New Orleans, and I really wasn't interested. And then when we won the championship in 89, Bobby Kiesler was getting the job at McNeese. Bobby came. Bobby offered me the offensive coordinator's job at McNeese, which would have put me there for the 1990 season. And the president, Dr. Hebert, actually – showed up at Crowley High one day, and I don't think he made a special trip, but on their way back to Lake Charles, he pulled in to try to talk me. I didn't want to move, number one. Just wasn't quite ready, I think, at the time to go back. Now, while I was back with Nelson, Steve Ensminger became the offensive coordinator at Texas A&M, and R.C. Slocum asked, Steve, we need a receiver coach. And you had your pick. Who? He said, I'd get Louis Cook. He said, he's at UL, he's offensive coordinator, USL. He said, you know, he would really do a great job recruiting Louisiana for us. And so they called, and I was like, you get kind of excited. I mean, it's A&M, but I really didn't want to leave. I had, you know, Jake was there and, I told him thanks. A good friend of mine, Les Kenny, who actually coached a year at UL, when I left in 85, he came over there for 1 year. He's from Texas, wanted to go back. He called me, you know, he said, Lou, are you taking the job? I said, Les, I don't know if I'm going to get it. He said, no, it's your job if you want it. He said, that's what everybody in Texas is telling. I said, well, I'm going to call him and tell him I'm staying where I am. So, I did have a couple of opportunities, but, you know, really, you know, Lafayette was probably the only place. Nick Saban, in 2000, in 2001, Nick created that position for a high school liaison, kind of a part-time deal, which probably said paid about $50,000, but he said part-time. I said, Coach, you know, there's no such thing as part-time in college. And with you, there's no such thing as part-time. But looking for retired, I said, I'm retired from the public school system, but I'm not retired from working. And Jeff, my son Jeff, had just committed to go to LSU. And Nick wanted me to take that. He just created it. And that's where Charles Bagley, Coach Bags, has it. He's been there ever since. He's still doing the same thing. So I have had a couple of opportunities, but, you know, I live in this, I built a home in 79. I'm still in the same house, and my boys know where home is, and I think that was probably a little more important than trying to, you know, bounce around as a college coach.
So you passed on New Orleans?
I really like, you know, like the high school kids, too, you know.
You passed on New Orleans, you passed on Lake Charles, you passed on College Station, and you passed on Baton Rouge. Sounds like you just want to stay in Crowley.
Yeah, well, I actually live in Rain, and I sleep in Rain, but you know, I've either worked in Crowley or Lafayette.
Coach, this is Tom. We had Jake in here, you know, several months ago, and you know, he talked about playing for you. You know, when you guys were both there, how was it coaching Jake DeLorme?
Yeah, you know, that was that turned out to be something really sweet. You know, I was able to recruit him. You know, I got to spend time in their home when he was playing for Curly. And, you know, we ran him out there for the first play of the second half of the first college game he ever dressed out for.
Utah State.
Out of Class 8 Curly High School, you know. And, you know, I thought I was going to get fired for running him out there because Nelson had been talking about redshirt all of August. And, you know, the whole time we had a bad first half with the other guys. And he says, Louis, what are we going to do? I go, Coach, what do you mean we got to go with Jake? I told him we're going to redshirt Jake. I said, Coach, redshirt him for who? We're not going to coach him. We were 2-9 last year, you know. And so we ran Jake out there, and we went from 2-9 to 8-3. You know, we beat with a true freshman quarterback. We were really good on defense. You know, Orlando Thomas led the nation in interceptions. Vic Humont had come as our defensive coordinator. You know, really had a scheme that gave people a lot of trouble. And we got just good enough on offense to complement a good defense. You know, we turned around and went 18. We beat Memphis State, Southern Miss, and Tulane. We were 0-2, and we're facing those three teams consecutively and won all three of those games. So, you know, that was a pretty good little run right there. The only game we lost after week two when we got beat at Miami of Ohio was to Florida in the Swamp. And I know Don won't remember this, but we landed in Miami of Ohio, and Jake had played the second half of the Utah State game in 93. And Don and Jake came up to me, because we hadn't announced the starting quarterback. But it was pretty obvious it was going to be Jake. And I'm sure Don and Jay had figured it out, but they wanted to. So they said, Louis, is it Jake? He said, yeah, it's going to be Jake. And I said, now y'all don't hammer my butt too bad how conservative this offense is going to be. Because I said, we're not going to break Jake's will in this first game. And we were ahead 28-7 going to the fourth quarter and lost the game 29-28. But won 8 out of the next 9 games. But it was really fun. You know, Jake was such a competitive, made everybody better around him. All he wanted to do was win. They didn't care how. What he had to do to get us a win, he was going to figure it out and give everything he had, you know, for the team to be successful.
Do you remember the name Danny DePace?
Danny DePace?
Well, that's the way we pronounce it,
yeah. DePace is, yeah.
But it should be pronounced DePace. But you remember Danny, whose idea of a completed pass needed to travel at least 50 yards.
Oh, yeah. I told Danny, I said, one day during a scrimmage, he threw this long pass when the under route was wide open. And I said, Danny, if you throw that pass in the game, it's going to get intercepted against this coverage. And that's the coverage we're going to see. Well, we actually ran him out there in the Utah State game. After we had 4 interceptions by 2 other guys.
Yeah.
And Danny threw that same pass, and it got picked off. And like you said, Don, it traveled 50 yards in there.
Yeah, and then we saw Jake for the second half and for the rest of is history.
He took every snap for the next 4 years.
Yeah. I've seen your offensive schemes for a lot of Friday nights now over the last several years. How different is your offensive attack when you had Jake Delhomme at UL and what you're putting on the field? I'm not talking about athletic-wise and talent-wise, but just what you're doing on offense when you were at UL as compared to what you're doing now at Notre Dame.
You know, Tom, it's really not that much difference. You know, some years when we had Garrett Bazron and Brian Tavis, where we were throwing it a little bit more than we did last year with Ben, you know, it was probably a little more similar because as Jake got a little older, you know, we were able to do more drop back pocket passes, you know. But Jake's first year, you know, was a lot of play action and sprint outs and bootlegs and waggle passes. And so, but I mean, we still call a lot of the things the same way, you know. We were running the stretch plays. We were running, you know, the inside zone stuff. When I got there, and you know, when I first came, Nelson wanted to run this particular offense, and we scrapped it with about three games to go the first season, and then we went to what we're doing, you know, what we did with Jake, and what we're doing now that I'm doing at Notre Dame. It's pretty similar, you know. The game's changed, and you know, I probably haven't changed as fast as the game's changed with all these spread offenses and things, but I think now it's becoming an advantage for these running teams like us and the KDN and, you know, the wing T teams that, you know, Catholic and Rain was using Church Point, because, you know, you used to play 10 games and see maybe two teams throw it. Now you see two teams run it, you know. So it's, you know, we're doing a lot of things that we did when I was there with Jake still.
Louie, we're going to take a commercial break. We'll be back, okay?
Louie
Cook, head football coach at Notre Dame High of Crowley, is with us this evening. We've got more to come after this.
Now, back to Five Guys Stories and Lies on 103.7 The Game.
Your songs playing for you, Louie, all over the place.
That's again Don Allen, Louie.
You remember the song, right?
I was having fun tonight.
We have fun every time.
A lot of controversy with that song, my man.
Louie?
Yeah, a little bit. Just a little bit.
No, that's just because you couldn't understand what they're singing.
I know.
That's where the controversy
But you can guess. Yeah.
Do you remember the song? Before we go. Do you remember the song Dirty Water by the Standells?
Yep.
A lot of controversy with that, too.
Yeah. Yeah. But Don has a unique choice of songs for people, Louie.
Louie, aren't you glad you're on board for this walk down memory lane in rock and roll?
Yeah.
I'm telling you, man. We're all telling our age for sure.
You think? like Nelson Chastain said last week, you think?
Yeah.
What you have, Bruce? You had something for
Louie. Bruce Brown, I wanted to ask you, tell us one or two things about Orlando Thomas that nobody knows.
Let me tell you real quick. We played our spring scrimmage in Chaplin at the end of his junior year. So he's going to be a senior. And I had a really talented football team in 88 at Crowley. And we lost 14-13 in the quarterfinals to Washington. And I'm looking on the board at the schedule, and I'm trying to figure out which five games we can win to break in the next year. Orlando's going to be a senior, and lost a bunch of good players. Anyhow, so we go to the spring game, and we actually look pretty good. I'm kind of fired up. So I'm going to use that moment while everybody's feeling good about themselves to sell the summer workout and what we have to do and what they're going to take. And just as I got them all together and I get started, Orlando's got his hands up. And he says, Coach, can I say something? I said, yeah, go ahead. He said, all of the seniors got together and we want to win the state championship. If you're not planning on coming to summer workout, turn your uniform in when you get back to school, because we're not going to let you play if you're not going to come and work this summer. I said, get on the bus, guys. What else could I say?
Couldn't add anything to that.
Yeah, it, really.
And that's how he was. I mean, he willed us to the state championship that year, because that we weren't a super talented team, but the chemistry was unbelievable, and his spirit, the way he played the game. I mean, you know, he walked in my office, Bruce, as a 10th grader. Well, he came to Crowley High as a 9th grader. He weighed 98 pounds. And you got to understand, he was 13 years old. He started school when he was 5, and he gets to Crowley High, and his birthday is in October. He actually played 7 games his senior year as a 16-year-old.
Wow.
And so when everybody says, you know, was he a great high school? He was a really good high school player, but he wasn't. He was so young. That's why he kept developing, kept getting bigger, and he had it all. He still had a lot ahead of him. Some guys, you know, they're almost tapped out sometimes when they get out of high school at 19 years old. You know, they've matured physically pretty much. You know, he was just the opposite. He was a young kid.
Louis, I could swear I remember that when Orlando first came to USL, he spelled his name with an A, Orlando.
Right. That's how it appears on his birth certificate, Don, really. It is Orlando.
Don.
But everybody kept putting the O, so he just went along with it most of the time. You know, kind of like me. I'm L-E-W-I-S, but a lot of times you see L-O-U-I-S. All right, that's fine. But anyhow, you know.
Don, I was at the USL press conference for the start of the football season, and Orlando was one of the guests, and I raised my hand to talk to him, and I said, look, I want to get this straight. Do you spell your name with an A at the end or an O at the end? And he said, it's an O, Orlando, and he actually took out his wallet, and he displayed his driver's license to all the media who were at that particular press conference. And he passed his driver's license around so we could see it was spelled Orlando. And that's why we started calling him all of a sudden his senior year, Orlando. I just asked the question because I was confused, because he always called himself Orlando. Yeah. But in the media guide and in all the other statistic sheets, he was Orlando. So,
yeah. Well, see, Louis, Glenn, was he the best high school player you've coached, or was Shane, or was Tracy Boyd, or who was the best high school player you coached?
At Crowley High, you know, Shane was probably the best all-around player that I coached. Like I said, Orlando was so young. You know, he kept getting better and better, and he really played. I mean, he played great. But, you know, pretty much for 1 year. You know, Shane had played as a sophomore. I got there with him as a junior, and, you know, he could impact the game a little bit more. You know, like his senior year, we in the playoffs, first home playoff game in Crowley in 14 years, and we're playing Westlake second round. We had a bye the first round, and Shane twist his ankle early in the game. He's got tears in his eyes, you know, not because he's hurting, because, he's out of the game for a little while. He goes back in and he runs a punt back, and if he's got two relays, he probably runs it back 90 yards. But in the fourth quarter, I guess it had loosened back. It's one of those deals where he's back to field a punt, and I'm like, let it go. He catches it on the 7. Runs it back 93. I go, good job.
Good job. Good strategy, Coach.
So, we're talking about Shane Garrett, for people who don't know who we talk about. Shane Garrett went to A&M, right, Lou?
Yeah. Well, you know, Shane wanted to go to USA. He decided if his mama would have let him, you know, he'd have come to Lafayette. But, you know, she was worried about him being that close to Crowley, because you know, sometimes those guys get influenced. And so she, because I went and spoke to her, and Jane had it. She said, Coach, you mind going to talk to my mom? And she said, Coach, there's nothing against USL or Lafayette or the coaches. She said, he just needs to be, he needs to be further away than Lafayette. So he ended up going to A&M, and LSU had offered him, but he was ready to go to Lafayette. But
wow.
Anyhow, he had a nice career there. And
Louis,
went on to play for the Bengals a little bit, got injured.
Louis, we need to take another commercial break. We'll be back.
Stay okay, with guys. Us.
Louis Cook is with us. We'll return after this.
That indeed, we understand.
They're here to tell it like it is and how it was. This is Five Guys Stories and Lies on 103.7 The Game.
Need some homework, huh, Don?
No, I didn't request this one.
This is from behind the curtain?
Yeah, this is our wizard.
Our wizard did it. Okay.
Our wizard did this.
Okay.
Louis Cook is with us tonight for at least another 15 minutes or so. Don Allen, Glenn Quibido, Tom Brown, Bobby Ardwine, and Bruce Brown. And the wizard behind the screen, of course, is Clint Domain. This is Five Guys, Stories and Lies. And our special guest in this hour has been former USL offensive coordinator and current Notre Dame of Crowley head football coach, Louis Cook. Louis, you talked about who the best high school player you ever had was. Who was the best college player you ever had?
I got to go with Jake.
Uh-huh. We told you.
You know, he's in a position where his impact was such that, if we don't have him in 93, we don't win 8. No way we win 8 games. And I know he was a true freshman thing, but we don't win 8 games that year without Jake going in there as the quarterback. So I'd say he was, on the offensive side, I think he probably was the best player that I was able to coach while I was there.
Coach.
You know, we had Clarence Burton, the first, I was a fan, and he became an explosive left player for us. Greg Hobbs was really good wide receiver for us back the first time around. Thomas Jackson was a horse in the backfield. Charles Poole, remember Charles, the linebacker. He was a beast on defense. But, he and Orlando were on that same defense. So we had some good players come along at that time.
Coach, let's turn attention. I was a little surprised when I was in there a couple of days ago and we were talking because I realized that I hadn't heard anything about where we stood with football playoffs this season, and you're right around the corner from the season, and you started talking about the plans for the select non-select situation, and you got a meeting you're going to Monday. You told me.
Correct. Yeah, there was a meeting in Lafayette at Curling with all the select schools throughout the state. I think it was 90 some odd select schools, and we'll be meeting. We formed a select school association. It's a conference, and we're still all in the LSSA. It's just an association like the Football Officials Association, the Football Coaches Association. We're just a select school where we meet and discuss things. Right now, the only games that'll be in the dome as it is right now will be the 5 classes of non-select schools, 5A down to single A. The select schools is still to be decided whether we'll be at a central location or whether when it comes down to the final week, the higher seeded team is to choose, do they play on their home field or do they mutually agree to take the game to another site. So that's where things are right now. Now, they're still talking Baton Rouge. There's been a lot of talk about several, quite a few, both select and non-select, you know, talking about they weren't sure what they were voting on, didn't understand the proposal. Regardless, I mean, it passed, but I'm not sure if it won't come back up again or they try to bring it back together before the season starts. But as of right now, I will know after Monday. I would hope we'll come out of that meeting with a consensus on where we go to say all four games, two on a Friday, two on a Saturday, say it's Cajun Field, a Southeastern, probably won't be in the dome, you know, but could be at a central location and make it a weekend deal for all four non-select championships.
Louie, is that kind of a tough position to be in as a coach in starting the season, just to have that uncertainty at the end?
Yeah, you know, it would be nice to know, you know, and it. The dome's become such a big thing. You know, I believe it's led, to be honest, it's our fault, but it's led to some of the problems that we have because it became such a spectacle. And it was such an event that every coach sitting in those stands watching those games are trying to figure out a way how they can get their team to play in the dome, get to the championship game. And it's not beyond some of them, you know. Integrity is a hard thing to legislate, and that they'll find they'll go about certain ways to put a team together that could give them a better chance to make it to that one game. But you know, it still comes down to the fact is, you know, I can remember when I took the job at Crowley, we painted a picture of the dome in the locker room because that was the goal, to get the championship game.
Right.
Also, in 89, when we won the semifinal game, the first thing out of my mouth when we were I had the team all sitting down in the gym. I said, if I hear one of you guys say we're going to the dome, I said, I'm leaving you home. I said, we're trying to go to win the state championship. It just happens to be staying in the dome. So don't get hung up about going to the dome. Let's concentrate on winning the championship. So, right. But it is a sweet. It was. I mean, everybody wants to get it. You know? I mean, that's, you know, yeah.
Roy, who's going to win your district this year?
I hope the Piles.
Well, I know you hope the Piles, but they look a little bit different. The district looks a little bit different this year, doesn't it?
Yeah, we lost Kinder and Bill Platt. We picked up Lafayette Christie and Fort Daddy. You know, so you're looking at three teams in our district that have been to New Orleans for the championship the last 2 years. Welch on the non-select side, and Lafayette Christian Division Four and the Piles Division Three. Got three teams in one district that know all about getting to the championship game. So it's going to be fun. I mean, Kinder, I hated losing Kinder because they were pretty good. They had been in the dome several times since split, and have really good players. They had good games with them. I wish we could have kept them and made it 16 and not have an odd number. But Lafayette Christian and Welch should definitely be there'll be two really big games that we have to face once we start this season.
Well, that 44 game home win streak's going to get tested this year, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. I believe that. Sulphur and Como right out 2 and 3, and then Kaplan comes in week 5. You know, they've been in the semi the last 3 years, and then we follow up Kaplan with Welch and Lafayette. So we go to Welch and Lafayette Christian comes to Crowley. So, oh, yeah, it's going to get tested.
That's the biggest change. Nobody wants to play you anymore with all of the success you've been having, huh?
You know, it's like that for a lot of teams. You know, it's sad to say, but it's kind of become the haves and the have-nots. And there's not many middle ground teams anymore. They're either pretty darn good or they're not very good at all. And, you know, it's sad to see it going the way that it's going. And, you know, winning, you know, we put such a premium on winning that they're afraid to, they're worried about their record now more so than, let me play some teams that will challenge me so that we can get better, you know. And it's just kind of frustrating when you call schools that are your size or just a little bit bigger, and they like, they won't return your call. Like, ah, coach, you know, we already have a game, and you know they don't have a game that week, but that's the way that it is.
Was it hard losing Breaux Bridge?
It was. I love playing Breaux Bridge. I don't know if I had a dollar for every time I referred to the Breaux Bridge game when we would get in the playoffs and we're going to play in A-Meade or East Feliciana. I'd go like, guys, remember how fast those holes closed up when we played Breaux Bridge?
I mean, yeah.
Louie, we can't. I'm sorry, were you through, Louie? Did you have something else?
No, go ahead.
Look, we can't thank you enough for giving us the time tonight and talking about this.
I appreciate y'all giving me the opportunity. Good business, you guys.
Look, best of luck to the Pios this year.
Thank you, Don. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Coach. Appreciate it.
All right, thank you.
Take care.
That is Louie Cook, former USL offensive coordinator back in the day and currently head football coach at Notre Dame High School of Crowley. Who was kind enough to join us tonight. By the way, no show next week. We'll
be checking out the pods at LSU.
You will.
Yeah. I want to see how those beds feel.
I need a nap as it is. I need a nap at all times.
You feel the knife just like you turning in your side. You know?
Would love it over there. But, you know,
what are we going to do next week, man?
Oh, gee, Tom,
I don't know about y'all, but I...
You're going to be home watching Yellowstone.
I'm going to be home watching Yellowstone. You bet.
How's that been, by the way?
Oh, my
Pretty good,
goodness,
man.
You haven't watched it?
You got to get caught up.
Like I said, I need to do a little binge watching. Dude. I'm not going to lie.
Man, catch up on season one and then catch
oh,
up.
Oh, no, I've seen season one.
Like, oh, you did?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Oh, my man Rip, he's
like I said, I've seen season one. Season two, I didn't watch the first episode.
No, it's getting intense.
And then it's like I said.
You know what, it's comparative to, you can compare it to the old days.
Like
you,
Dallas?
Dallas.
And Dynasty?
Yeah. It's like Dallas and Dynasty.
When his son asked him, what are we going to do about this, Dad? And he goes, we're going to kill him.
Bruce, that's direct.
Bruce, what you're listening to now is another sign of the apocalypse.
Well, yeah, this is Don. You know what this is? This is Flyover America, which you would know nothing about. That's us.
Yellowstone is Flyover America.
Yeah, that's the audience. Flyover America.
Kevin Costner is Flyover America.
Yep. In this particular case, yes, it is. This is about ranches, which you'd know nothing about. Yeah.
Yep. Oh, I know all about ranches.
Oh, you do? Huh? Yes. Oh, okay. All right. I'm confused.
You've been confused for a long time.
I tell you what, as long as I'm around you,
I think that was a political jab.
What? Which one is that?
By the way, Glenn.
Fly over America.
Glenn.
What?
Miss Kitty was a hooker, just to remind you of that.
You're spoiling my night, man.
Oh, Lord.
We must have a phone call, but it sounds like we're going off the air.
I told him to hang tight. We'll have him when we come back.
Okay. Hopefully he's a Yellowstone fan.
Presumably.
Might be Ralph.
That would be three.
It's not Ralph.
It's more than three.
Five Guys continues after this.
Might be Bubba.
The viewpoints heard on this program could be considered politically incorrect. Good thing they're too old to care.
Well, that's easy for you to say.
This is Five Guys Stories and Lies on 103.7 The Game.
We have about 10 minutes or so left of this evening's show. 706-0111, that's your number, and we're going to take you to the phones. Right now, Dusty, is it? Dusty, what's on your mind?
Man, I don't want to talk anything about sports. I just can't thank y'all enough for getting me hooked on to Yellowstone.
All right, there you go. That's what I'm talking about.
Beth is worth my cable bill alone.
Oh,
let's just
man.
Put it that way.
Isn't Beth something? Woo, man.
Some of them things with her and Rip, man. I need a shot of Jack and a Marlboro Red myself.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah, and when he told his son, we going to kill him.
Tell Don that show, he ought to watch that show, because he doesn't believe us.
Everybody that's listening to me right now, I don't care if you put it on mute. Death is worth the show alone. But if you want to see Tom action, this is the best show I've seen since Sons of Anarchy went off the air. I just got to see it.
Now, I'll agree with him on Sons of Anarchy. Okay. No doubt about that.
Oh, man. Who's your favorite character?
Death?
Death?
Oh, it got to be Rip. I mean,
it got to be Rip. Oh, yeah.
And that goofy guy, Luke, the young guy, the goofy guy, the hangman, Luke. Yeah. Oh, my God.
That's when they tied him to that horse. Yeah.
It goes on all levels. It hits every level that a man needs to watch. It hits right there.
Those new characters are something else.
My favorite character is Beth. Man, the way she tells them
every guy.
That's mine. Beth, I mean, got to go with Rip. That dude knocked somebody's head clean off, it looks like.
I can't get past that bath Beth took in the watering trough. Oh, man.
Yep, exactly. I didn't know they would put stuff like that on the basic cable TV. Let me put it that way.
Yellowstone forever.
Okay. Well, thanks for the call, man. We appreciate it.
Thanks,
yeah, hey, thanks for having our back, man.
All right, Dusty.
There you go.
Thank you. Like I said, oh, my God.
Uh-huh. See there? Got a lot of people out there.
Bruce, have you ever seen Yellowstone?
No.
Bobby, have you ever seen Yellowstone?
No.
See, I've seen it more than they have. I saw at least one episode.
Tonight's going to be good. Tonight's going to be really good.
Oh, yeah.
Beth and her brother are going to have a problem.
They're going to have it out. Oh, yeah. She's going to take care of him.
If you miss it at 9 o'clock, it replays at 2. So I'm going to miss it. I'm going to miss it because we're having our little deal at IHOP. But I tell you what, I have my alarm clock set for 1:58, and I will be up at 2 o'clock.
Pretty good chance I won't be.
There is such a thing as DVR.
You're right.
There is.
And on demand.
On demand is the best.
By the way, you can check out this show on demand right now after we're wrapped up.
That's true.
Yeah, thanks for the plug. Yes,
right here. You can check it out on 1037thegame.com, also on the free mobile
app.
Assuming
they don't kill the second hour.
It's still going to be on 1037thegame.com.
You show one of those songs that...
Well, luckily I'm here to kind of take out... I'll make sure to take out all that's needed.
Go find that second hour from last week.
Yeah, because that's all Nelson.
Okay.
Because that's a potential award entrant. Okay?
Yeah. Well, like I said, it's still in the archive on our end. So, like I said, whenever we do put it in, like I said, whenever we do wind up putting these in for rewards, that one will definitely be thrown in there for good measure.
Glenn calls me every Thursday morning to tell me that he'd listened to himself over again from the show the night before.
Look at this guy doing air checks and everything. How about that?
I know. I check out to see how bad Don ticked me off that night. And that particular night, he knew I went to confession, so he was trying to get me to do something I shouldn't do. And so I had to go back and listen and make sure I didn't say or do something I shouldn't have done.
What did you tell the priest about Don?
Oh, you don't want to know. You don't want to know. There are just certain things in life I told the priest that you got to deal with, you know?
You need to schedule your confessions for Thursday. That way you get through Tuesday lunch and Wednesday night. And at least you got 4 or 5 days before you break it again.
Well, you know, the thing is, you're not supposed to harbor bad thoughts. And sometimes Don's got some thoughts trying to creep into my head, you know? So
love thy neighbor.
That's what I'm saying, you know, and sometimes it's kind of hard, you know. So
pull that chain up and you won't have the problem.
I know, you keep telling me. One of these days I'm gonna get me a chain just so you can pull it easier.
Sports is overrated anyway.
Yeah.
Did anybody here ever watch Sons of Anarchy on any regularity?
I did. I used to, yeah.
I just watched parts of it.
When it first came on, I watched it for a couple of years.
That was a violent show, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
Yeah, well, see, Yellowstone's not that violent. Could be at times. Well, it is kind of
violent. It is kind of violent, yeah.
But compared to Sons of Anarchy, a lot more.
It's like Romper Room School compared to what I saw on Anarchy.
Yeah, Sons of Anarchy was just a great adult soap opera, because that's what it was.
Were those cats bikers or something?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, they were. Yeah, they
Sons
were bad.
Of Anarchy. That was the name of the biker group.
Yeah, I caught parts of it. One part I actually liked, but you know, Yeah, it was pretty good.
I just had trouble getting past Peggy Bundy as the matriarch of the Sons of Anarchy.
You get past it in a hurry.
Oh, yeah.
She was great.
She was good.
In that
Very
role.
Good.
You
yeah.
serious? She was
yeah.
in that?
Yeah. Oh, she yes. was good, man.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah.
No, there was no comedic value to yeah. her performance. No,
how do you
in fact,
you
there
cast
was
her to that from what she came from?
She's an actress.
She's an
yeah,
actress.
Exactly.
A, a wonderful bit of casting, as it turned out.
No kid.
Oh, yes.
Oh, she was awesome, yeah.
Bar none.
Well, look at Mary Tyler Moore in Ordinary People. I mean, that was casting against type, too.
Yeah, because most people get locked into a certain
sure.
character type.
Yeah,
you know?
Sure.
You know, John Wayne. Boy, people say, who's that? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Al, the gentleman that played Al Bundy, never did leave that
yeah.
casting yep. role.
Yeah.
Never
yeah,
left it.
She Modern did. Family. Yeah.
Yeah, she did. In fact, if you ever Google her in or go to IMDb
yeah.
and look up her thing, it's she's interesting. Very, very interesting.
Mm-hmm. I'll be
Katie Sagal.
Yep.
Yeah.
Katie Sagal.
Yeah. As you can tell, this is not a regular sports show.
Well, like I said, sports are overrated.
We got like
sometimes.
2 minutes left in the
well,
show.
Yeah,
so,
we're
you
talk
know,
about TV.
This is usually whenever you kind of. Just
we don't read the headlines and rattle off the stats or go through interviews like a buffet line here. This is a real talk show.
Yeah, that's right.
All right, Quiz, you're saying?
So next week I'm going to ask you some questions.
Wait,
about
you're not next
version.
Week.
Next
now.
Week.
Oh, 2 weeks.
2 weeks from now, okay.
No, we don't have a show next week?
9 o'clock on Paramount.
Yeah.
What did I just say?
What did he just say?
He doesn't even listen to the program.
Neither one of these two do.
No, we do the next day.
By the way, John.
Yeah, we know you do.
John Lieber will join us in 2 weeks.
Who's he?
John Lieber is the.
Yeah, I mean, I'm.
That ought to be good for 15 seconds.
Yeah. I don't know who that is.
Oh, touche.
Yeah, he played softball. We're going to bump him to 20 seconds, Tom.
That sounds like 3 segments with Tom Brown just asking all the questions.
Yeah, we could do that too. Anyway, no show next week.
I know who he is. We've been talking about it for weeks. Just messing with you.
But we'll be back here at 6 o'clock in a couple of weeks, and that's the best we can offer you right now.
I'm just going to come in here and sit in here for a couple hours because I love
do
it
that
so much.
Too. Yeah, just
watch Clint on the board.
My man Clint, back from a luxurious week in Hoover, Alabama.
Where they ate every piece of barbecue they could.
I know.
Because there is nothing else to do in Hoover.
Yeah, is that what y'all did? Y'all ate barbecue?
We didn't eat as much barbecue as you might think, mind you. That's largely because where the Winfrey Hotel is located, it's adjacent to a mall. It's connected with a mall. So
y'all ate fast food?
We had some Chick-fil-A one night. The second night on Tuesday, we wound up going to this like little dive bar. Not far from the Lyric Theater, which is where they had like a little presentation of an advanced screening of Saturdays in the Sun. And then Wednesday night, we had some free food thanks to the SEC with them at Dave and Buster's.
Remind me never to go to an event with y'all. If that's the best you can do in terms of food.
They were staying in the Winfrey Hotel.
No, we weren't.
The Winfrey.
We were staying adjacent to the Winfrey Hotel, okay?
We're done for the night. For Bobby Ardwin, Bruce Brown, Glenn Quibido and Tom Brown, and our wizard behind the wall, of course, Clint Domang. I'm Don Allen. Our thanks again to Louis Cook for joining us this evening. We will be back to talk with you in 2 weeks here on Five Guys, Stories and Lines.
Come on, baby. Don't say baby.
In Upper Lafayette.
This is KLWB.